The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the earth.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, April 9th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Time for the news, interviews, and views you can use for the cannabis community here on the Russ Belville Show. And speaking of the show, you know, I've been doing a little archiving, a little retrospective. Turns out Normal, the organization that I worked for 4.5 years, took down the subdomain stash.normal.org, which was the blog where I had written over 6,000 posts from 2008 to 2012. I'm currently in the process of uploading those to RadicalRust.com, so as time goes on, you'll see all these older posts popping up. I also went back to my earliest blogging days, back even before my XM radio show in 2006, all the way back to 2003 from my Blogger account, got those imported. So sometime by the end of this weekend, you'll be able to go to RadicalRust.com and read all of my writing dating back from 2003 all the way to the current day, 11 years of blog posts, about 8,000 blog posts. And it's really interesting looking back too, because the ones before 2008 aren't just marijuana posts, lots of posts on all sorts of topics. So it's been fun for me looking back. Anyway, on today's show, it's Wax Wednesday, so coming up at the end of the show, we're going to be dabbing, hopefully have Ganja John, maybe Todd Armstrong, Calico Castile stepping in to the studio. We'll see how that turns out. Also, we got time for a radical rant today. I found a piece written up on mainstreet.com, supposedly debunking pot proponents' prison statistics. I'm going to show you why the debunk needs to be debunked, and that'll come up in the rant at 1:30. We'll do it a little early today. Also, in behind the headlines, I found a story from Illinois that involves 4 DEA agents, 5 cops, 1 middle-aged woman, and 9 grams of pot. So we'll tell you how that went down and how it's also helping to destroy a small businessman in Illinois as well. We've got our daily toker tunes for Ivory Wednesday. Gordon Green can't call in today. It's a little late in Spain for him. But today he brought me a group that I know and love quite well, Dread Zeppelin, on today's show for the first time with a whole lot of love. But we're going to start things off with the 420 radio news. We got 3 new polls on marijuana. We've got new tax revenue data from Colorado and surprising news from Uruguay on how they will treat medical marijuana in that country. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Hey, it's going to be a good one.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. .420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, April 9th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Sales taxes from recreational marijuana sales in Colorado rose slightly in February. But given the increase in outlets, some legislators fear marijuana tax revenue won't live up to predictions. Total sales tax from recreational pot rose $30,000 in February from $1.4 million to $1.43 million. However, the number of outlets for recreational pot increased by 40% from 59 to 83. There are expected to be double the number, about 190 pot shops included in the March tax data that's due out in May. Medical marijuana revenues rose about $600,000 in February, though much of that increase came from fees, not sales. Still, continued growth of medical revenues and stagnation of recreational revenues suggests to some that overtaxation of recreational marijuana is keeping the black market flourishing and draining sales away from legal stores. In addition to legalizing marijuana nationwide, the South American country of Uruguay is going to give its prisoners marijuana and make it part of the National Public Health Service. Uruguay's drug czar Julio Calzada announced that prisoners with a doctor's recommendation to use medical marijuana for physical or mental health treatment will be allowed to use it in prison. Also, Social Development Minister Daniel Olesker stated that medical marijuana will become a part of the country's public health system, along with acupuncture and homeopathic remedies. Regulations are expected to be finalized by, no kidding, April 20th, but the country's legal marijuana market rollout won't happen until the end of the year. The Washington, D.C. City Council has unanimously approved opening up its medical marijuana program California style. Currently, D.C.'s medical marijuana law, like the laws in all other medical marijuana states except California, determines which patients may qualify for medical marijuana by statute. In other words, a qualifying condition list. If a patient has cancer, for instance, a doctor may recommend cannabis, but if the patient has, say, social anxiety disorder, no matter how much the doctor thinks cannabis may help, the law prevents that recommendation. But in California, and perhaps soon in D.C. if Congress doesn't veto this change, it is solely up to the doctor to decide whether a patient qualifies for medical marijuana. We have a trio of polls to report on concerning marijuana. First, Huffington Post and YouGov teamed up to poll Americans on their feelings regarding the responsible use of cannabis by adults. When asked, quote, is it possible to be a responsible adult and occasionally smoke marijuana? 59% of Americans agreed. There was no gender, age, political, racial, income, or regional demographic that disagreed. though retirees at 45% and blacks at 49% were pluralities, not majorities. And Republicans were nearly evenly split at 46% responsible, 43% irresponsible. But when the follow-up question was asked, do you think it makes it harder or easier to be a responsible adult if a person occasionally smokes marijuana, majorities of age 65 plus at 53% and Republicans at 57% chose harder, while pluralities and majorities of every other demographic said it made no difference. Finally, when asked, do you think most people who occasionally smoke marijuana are responsible adults or not, only Republicans, 52%, were a majority saying we aren't. While surprisingly, young adults 18 to 29, 44%, were a larger plurality than retirees age 65 plus at 43%, who thought that we're not responsible adults. All other groups formed pluralities or majorities that found us responsible, except Hispanics, who were split 44% toward irresponsible, 43% toward responsible. Our second poll comes from Louisiana State University, which has noted a rise in support for marijuana reform in the Bayou State. 44% of Louisianans support legalization of marijuana, up from 42% the year before. Medical marijuana attracts the support of almost 4 out of 5, or 79% of residents. There is again a gender gap, with men 49% in support and women 11 points back at 38% support. And finally, our last poll comes from Monmouth University, Asbury Park Press in New Jersey, which finds residents split on marijuana legalization, 48-4, 47-against. The gender gap is strong in New Jersey, with 56% of men in favor, but only 39% of women in favor, a full 17-point gap. Having children made little difference in legalization support, but smoking pot sure did, with 2/3 of tokers supporting legalization and 59% of non-tokers against it. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, April 9th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website, 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines into a small town in Illinois where a middle-aged woman was busted in the middle of the night in her own home over 9 grams of marijuana. We'll tell you how it went down and how it's destroying a small business when we come back. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Mary, marijuana, do you wanna? Mary, do you wanna?
As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on The Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's E-A-R-L-E-Y-W-I-N-E, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Drug Policy Facts, starring Doug McVeigh from Portland, Oregon. Tuesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific, on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines and a story of four DEA, five cops, one woman, and 9 grams. This took place in Shorewood, Illinois, and it's reported on the Shorewood Patch by Joseph Hosey, who's an editor out there. This reported on the 4th, so last week, but it has to do with an artist, a woman, a 46-year-old woman named Angela Kirking, and she was rousted from her bed at 5 in the morning on October 11th. Four DEA agents and 5 Shorewood cops were in her home, according to the police report. Kirking recalled, "They had a gun pointed at me when they said, 'Are there any illegal substances in your house?'" There reportedly was. Police said they found 9.3 grams of marijuana in Kirking's art room. They also apparently seized a plant portion from her patio. Who knows what that is? Stems? I don't know. 3 glass pipes in a bag, 3 scales, 2 books on how to grow marijuana, a computer, and a zip drive. A zip drive? People still have zip drives? The raid on her house culminated a month-long investigation that involved federal agents searching through her garbage and comparing her electric bill to those of a couple neighbors. They eventually charged her with a couple of misdemeanors. And what began the DEA's interest in this 46-year-old artist was that she happened to shop at a store in Crest Hill called Midwest Hydroganics. You know, a grow store, a hydroponic store. So in the complaint for the search warrant, the DEA agent wrote that he was staking out Midwest Hydroganics on another, you know, case or whatever, staking out this hydroponic shop. And during the surveillance, he noticed the woman, Kirking, exit from the front door of the store carrying a green plastic bag containing unknown items. Now, Kirking said the green plastic bag held organic fertilizer that she bought for her hybrid hibiscus. She has a hybrid hibiscus plant that she uses, and she needed the organic fertilizer because she eats the plant and does not want to be poisoned. Prefers organic. So the agents then tailed her back from Midwest Hydroganics back to her place in Shorewood, got their hands on her electrical bills from February through September of 2013, compared them to 2 of her neighbors, and the bills were higher. And according to the DE agent, of course, experience shows that people involved in the cultivation of marijuana utilize a large supply of electricity to cultivate the plants during the growing cycles. Or perhaps if you were growing a hibiscus. Just saying. 3 weeks later, at 4:15 in the morning, 2 DEA agents conducted an investigative garbage pull. The agents found multiple green plant stems that smelled strongly of green cannabis. 3 days after that, the agents and police pulled her husband over as he left for work at 4:50 in the morning. Cops and agents informed him of the search warrant and asked him to open the door to the house. And that's when the cops went in, and the woman was woken up by the cops while her terrier was sleeping on the bed with her. Lucky for her, the cop wasn't shot, or the dog wasn't shot by the cops, I should say. And the lawyer in this case is looking at the defense motions to toss the search warrants in these cases because of the initial investigation for the hydroponic storage. A woman walking out having bought soil at a store is a very little probable cause to continue surveilling her and rooting through her trash. But the other aspect of this that's troubling to me, in a follow-up story, the owner of this indoor garden business, this Midwest Hydroganics, he is saying now that the word has gotten out about the DEA surveilling his store, he's losing a ton of business. Well, of course he is. You know, nobody wants to go pick up their soil or stuff knowing that the DEA might be watching. So, yes, this has to do, of course, with this misdemeanor. And again, we're talking misdemeanors that these cops are involved in. And to think of all the time and effort and money and investigation that went into surveilling this place where most people shopping at these grow stores are not marijuana growers. They're people that are into indoor gardening or even sometimes getting stuff for their outdoor gardens, getting soil or whatever. And to turn this woman's life upside down, to terrorize her in her home with guns pointed to her face And it does turn out she has marijuana, 9 grams. I mean, she's got less than a half ounce, and you know, a little more than a quarter, most likely for personal use. All you could get on her is a couple misdemeanors, and you're going to destroy this man's business in a time when we're in an economic downturn and people need jobs, and the cities need tax revenue. It's just, it's such a waste. And, you know, time after time I report on these stories, and the cops, they just seem to have this attitude, well, she had something illegal. But yeah, but don't you think this is a little bit disproportionate? All right, be right back with Dred Zeppelin. Stick around.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
No Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, 24 After. Gordon Green can't be with us today for our show. It's awfully late in Spain, and he's had a long day, but he did send ahead this music, which I am so happy for. I just love this band, because it proves to me that some motherfuckers were smoking a whole lot of weed before they came up with this concept. Let's just say that. The band is called Dred Zeppelin, and if you don't know the story of Dred Zeppelin or what they are, prepare yourselves for a treat, because apparently at one point in time, a bunch of musicians were hanging around and they were saying, hey man, you know what we ought to do? We ought to form a Led Zeppelin cover band, man. That would be awesome. We could be a Led Zeppelin cover band. And then I imagine another one went,
yeah, man, but there's so many freaking cover bands out there, man. There's so many of these tribute bands. We need to spark it up a little, you know, do something different. And I imagine the joint went to the third guy and he went, hey, I know. Why don't we do Led Zeppelin songs reggae style? We'll do them all reggae, man. And we'll call ourselves Dread Zeppelin. And I'm sure they all loved that. I'm sure everybody laughed like crazy. But somehow I just imagine there was one of the guys sitting back there in the back that went, no, man, check it out. It's missing something. We need something extra. It's, you know, Led Zeppelin cover band playing at reggae. That's cool, man, but there's just something missing. It needs something extra. And then the stroke of genius. Hey, I know, man. Let's get that Elvis impersonator to sing lead. And there you have it. Tortelvis, lead singer of Dread Zeppelin, an all Led Zeppelin reggae cover band. Folks, turn it up. We're going to have some fun. This is Dread Zeppelin with Whole Lot of Love.
Way down inside. Oh, honey, you need a I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love.
I want a whole lot of love.
And I say,
I want a whole lot of love.
Keep it cool.
like to say, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the man with my wire and towels on stage, Mr. Charlie Marsh, stand up.
Okay, keep it cool, Charlie.
Keep it cool, Charlie.
Keep it cool, Charlie.
Keep it cool, Charlie.
Is this a place where that launch went off, or Cape Canaveral?
Yeah, man, I had lunch. I had bacon, lettuce, and tomato salad.
Oh, that was a launch. What a fun we have.
Keep a cool, Charlie.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical RUSS on the Russ Belville Show.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay, read the Weed Blog today. Gordon Green's Music Planet with Gordon Green from Spain every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. GMT right here on...
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks. For today's rant, I happened upon a piece that was written on MainStreet.com by a guy named Michael P. Tremogli. And it quotes a lot of ONDCP stuff. So you know me. I got to debunk some of this. It's called Marijuana and Punishment, Debunking Pot Proponents' Prison Myths. Prison myths, you say? He opens, his lead here is, marijuana crusaders have waged an excellent public relations campaign, convincing people America's prisons are overflowing with nonviolent petty drug users and that an inordinate amount of tax money is spent arresting people for marijuana use. And then the rest of the next five pages is him trying to debunk that idea. He basically says politicians should be wary of the figures that we give, and he criticizes some of the statistics from John Getman. We got Raphael Lamatre chiming in. He's one of those ONDCP flacks. And they pretty much hit upon the same talking points that I've heard many times from Kevin Sabet and a lot of these anti-marijuana propagandists about this prison thing. And the first thing that they do is they have to set up the frame as if we, it's got to be a straw man. They always have to fight a straw man. And the straw man in this case is us saying that the prisons are overflowing with people for marijuana possession. And that is such a stretch, because what we are almost always saying, at least those of us in the responsible drug reform movement here, have been saying that prisons are overflowing with drug prisoners. Drug prisoners. 1.5 million of them, drug prisoners, not just little simple marijuana possession. But that's a harder battle for them to fight. So they got to make it something that's easy to slay, as if we had been touting a myth that people are going to prison in large numbers for simple marijuana possession for nonviolent offenses. And one of the first points they make is this guy contacted Pennsylvania's Department of Corrections and the data for prison sentences in the state for marijuana usage. According to the DOC, there are fewer than 300 people sentenced to prison in Pennsylvania each year for marijuana. Their deputy press secretary said there's 256 sentences to DOC each year for marijuana. Only five of these 256 marijuana sentences are for small amounts of marijuana. Currently, there are 13 inmates whose controlling offense is possession of small amounts of marijuana. So the first part I always have to bring up on this is, oh, gee, only five people's lives are being ruined over possession of marijuana. Why, then I guess it's all okay. We're only ruining five people's lives. And what is a small amount of marijuana? They, you know, these other 256 are people that, you know, that's the other thing that we have to address here is that this press secretary says many people charged with the possession of marijuana do not spend one day in jail. Many are given probation and have their cases disposed of through accelerated rehabilitative disposition, blah, 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 blah. And then that's inaccurate to say that their arrests lead to incarceration, blah, blah. Well, first of all, we have to look at how that impacts people's lives, probation and a conviction. But even putting that aside, some of the people, because you just said many don't even spend one day in jail. That tells me some do. Some are spending a day in jail, and any time in a cage for merely possessing marijuana is egregious and a waste of taxpayer dollars. Then the other thing they like to bring up here is that, well, the small amounts, you know, these guys, the five that are in the Pennsylvania system, those few five there that are in there for small amounts, why, they were pleading down from something worse. They were worse criminals, but then they were just pleading it down. So, you know, you can't even really consider that, can we? But see, there's a big problem with how that statistic works out. And it's the fact that when you're busted, what you were busted for oftentimes isn't just the small possession, right? When they say we don't lock people up for simple marijuana possession, they're pleading down or they were pleading down for more serious crimes. Here's what some of the serious crimes are. If you're smoking pot, you know, you got a baggie and you're smoking it with friends. Why, that's the serious crime of distribution. It's no longer simple possession. You got too much pot on you, right? Maybe you got over an ounce. Why? That's no longer simple possession. That's possession for sale. You're a drug dealer, obviously. You got your pot in separate baggies. You know, maybe you got different varieties. You want to keep them separate, so you know, indica, sativa, whatever. Nope. That's not possession. That's intent to deliver. Obviously, because you put it in separate baggies, you meant to sell it. You're a drug dealer. That's why you're going to prison. You had just a joint, just one joint, but oh, you're on probation for a stick-up robbery. You're on probation for a traffic accident, whatever it might be. Well, then you're going back to jail for the probation violation, not for possession of marijuana. Oh, you and some friends decided you'd all chip in together to buy that bag. Why? That's a conspiracy. No longer simple possession we're locking you up for. It's a conspiracy. Oh, you had some in your car? You had weed in your car. Well, that's DUI. In fact, you're just a pot smoker. That's DUI in a lot of states. Even the metabolites of your pee, that's DUI. Oh, you have a child. Oh, you were possessing pot near a child. Why? That's child endangerment. You have a cell phone. You sent your friend a text. Come on over. I got my weed. Let's smoke up. Why? That's illegal use of a telecommunications device in the commission of a crime. And you're not being locked up for simple possession anymore. Oh, and Second Amendment, forget about that. Even if you legally own a gun, even if you got a concealed carry permit, you've got a firearm in the commission of a drug crime, and you're no longer being locked up for simple possession. The other stat they like to come in here and try to scare us with, moving on to page 3 on this, is that he points out that according to the 1997 Bureau of Justice Statistics survey, all right, so the data is, you know, 17 years old, but let's go with it. 1997 Bureau of Justice Statistics survey reveals the median amount of marijuana involved in the conviction of marijuana possession only possession offenders was 115 pounds. So people convicted of just possession, more than half of them, or at least more than half of them had more than 115 pounds, and then the rest had less than 115 pounds. But trying to say it's not really small amounts when they're convicted for possession. But that's the federal, that's the federal data. That's federal, folks. And of course, the feds don't go after the little guys. You look at the state data, there's a lot of people doing time there. Then, I love this point. Again, the Bureau of Justice Statistics survey, this is something that Kevin Sabet brings up all the time, that only 0.7% of all state inmates were behind bars for marijuana possession only. Only 0.7% of 1.3 million state prisoners works out to 9,000-ish, about. It's only 9,000 people whose lives we're ruining by putting them in state prison for marijuana possession. It's just 9,000. It's just 0.7%. Any number that we're putting away is a number we are wasting, not only in the prison time and the guards and the courts and the laundry and the food and all the expenses it takes, the $36,000 a year to house the guy who's doing, again, the only 0.7% of them. But still, we get one in there, it costs 36 grand, and takes out of society that same guy who's most likely a working man, most likely paying taxes, most likely contributing to a family. So there's untold costs that we're losing from that side of the equation when the mom has to be a single mom now, raising kids and also trying to send money to her husband to be able to call his lawyer and stuff while he's in jail because he can't make any money at the 17 cents an hour job they got him working at. And the calls cost $5 a minute. So we don't even calculate that stuff when we figure that $36,000 a year per prisoner. Another report, a substantial portion of these were plea bargains down from more serious crimes. Again, the conspiracies and the trafficking and the, oh, and let's not forget the one that I didn't mention, the cultivation. That's another one they like to say. It's like, you know, a lot of these guys, they weren't just possessing. They were growing. Ooh. So, yeah, we got to ruin their lives because they actually planted the plant rather than just smoking the plant. They said in 2004 Bureau of Justice Statistics that 0.1% of all state prisoners were marijuana possession offenders with no prior sentences. 0.1%. So, see, we're only ruining about 2,000 lives in that situation. So it's really not that big a deal. And then, oh, I love this statistic. This is a, I've heard Kevin Sabet use this before, a 2010 study from RAND that concluded the risk of arrest for each joint smoked is about one arrest for every 12,000 joints. This is the statistic they like to drag out to say, you guys, you're all paranoid. You know, you're not really going to get busted. If you're a 40-year-old guy with a dozen pot plants out in the backyard, have a ball. If you're a 50-year-old guy that likes to smoke pot on the weekends and doesn't drive my kid's bus or fly my plane, well, just go right ahead. It's fine. Nobody cares if you're smoking marijuana. It's only one arrest for every 12,000 joints. So that just leads me to ask, well, gee, if it's such a not a big deal, why is it still freaking illegal? How, you can't have this both ways in this argument. You can't say, well, gosh, we hardly ever lock anyone up for marijuana possession. Oh, well, then why is it illegal? How do you get to have that? If it's such the deadly dangerous drug, Schedule 1, and it's going to cause all this mayhem and costs and loss and blight. And what about the children and heroin and blah, 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 blah. If it's really all you pretend it is, why aren't you rounding up college kids? Why aren't you, you know, scouring the campus housing? That's one of the lines that Kevin Sabet actually used in one of his things. Gosh, if we really wanted to, you know, make a dent and have a lot of marijuana arrests, we could just do a sweep of all the college apartments around any college town and have lots of arrests. Yeah, you could. How come that doesn't happen? So this thing, marijuana and punishment, debunking pot prison myths. The other thing that they go on to say in this, and getting to page 5 here, get some more facts. Says, according to the United States Sentencing Commission, during 2008, 25,000 people were sentenced in federal court for drug crimes under 6 offense categories. Marijuana accounted for 6,337, or 25%. So, 1 out of 4 federal drug crimes is being sentenced for marijuana. And then he says, of those 6,000, only 99 people, or 1.6%, were sentenced for simple possession of marijuana. Again, federal court. Yeah, no argument there. Again, federal. Then according to a 2006 Bureau of Justice Statistics survey of state and federal prisoners, approximately 12.7% of state prisoners and 12.4% of federal prisoners were serving time for a marijuana-related offense. That's 1 out of 8. 1 out of 8 prisoners in the world's largest prison country ever are there for a marijuana-related offense. And this is your defense. This is your debunk. Be right back.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
The government tells you that cannabis is a controlled drug. That means it's illegal to grow it, to sell it, or even to possess it. It's not supposed to happen.
What is it?
£20 a bag, mate. It's good. Yeah, they're not good.
But it does. Everywhere. All the time. 3 tons gets blazed away in Britain every day. The only ID a dealer asks for is a £20 note. We could have safe, properly controlled sales to adults only. We could be investing in schools and hospitals. Let's get the dealers off the streets. We need clear common sense about cannabis.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
About nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111.
No more hate.
cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, folks. It's 50 after the hour. We're expecting Ganja John any minute here to come down for our Waxy Wednesdays, but nothing so far. Haven't heard anything. So I'm just going to go on and bring you some more behind the headlines on the polls that we took a look at earlier today in the 420 Radio News. There were some of the statistics there that I wasn't able to get to. Didn't quite have enough time for it. So let me just go back through this just a little bit. In that Louisiana state poll, we had mentioned that in Louisiana, 44% are for legalization, and that's just a plurality. And by the way, if you don't know, you know, this statistical term, plurality just means it's the most people, but it's not a majority, right? Like when Bill Clinton won in 1992, he didn't get a majority. He got like 42% of the vote. And that's because George H.W. Bush got some and Ross Perot got some. He got more votes than those two guys, but he didn't get more than 50%. That's what a plurality is. Okay. So it just means more people support it. But it doesn't mean necessarily that it's majority, right? So in Louisiana, you got 44% that are supporting legalization. That's up from 42% the year before. So slowly making strides in Louisiana. Medical marijuana, though, as is the case almost always, medical marijuana is at 4 out of 5. 4 to 5 people at least. Yeah, 79%, a little shy of 4 out of 5. But I'm hard pressed now to find states. I think Minnesota had a lower support for medical. I think it was in the 60s somewhere. But it is hard to find a poll anymore where people do not support medical marijuana. The trend, though, that we find in these polls, and it's been going on now for about 4 or 5 years that I've been watching the polls, is the gender gap. And this is really troubling, the fact that women do not support marijuana legalization at the same rate that men do. And there's all sorts of theories about this, that, you know, women are the moms taking care of the kids and they worry about their kids getting on drugs and all these considerations. That kind of bothers me from the point of like, what, dads don't care about their kids? But, you know, all right, whatever. But the gender gap in Louisiana, you got 49% support from men and 38% support from women. And so that's an 11-point gap. Now, that's about, you know, anywhere from about 8 to 11 is what we find in most polls, the gender gap. We also find that people who most support legalization in Louisiana are under age 35, European American, and Democrats. Oh, and a little note, by the way. I'm trying to excise some words from my vocabulary. I'm trying to excise some words. One of the words I'm trying to excise is addict. You know, to label someone who is a user of heroin as an addict, you know, it kind of dehumanizes people, or junkie, right? I'm going to try to avoid using terms like that. But the one I just used, European American, I am trying to excise the term white from my vocabulary. And when you read more about what white really is, it's never been a race. It's never been like a well-defined race. In fact, for a long time in America, Irish, Germans, and Italians weren't white, right? So it's really a word that denotes privilege and supremacy in a sense, right? And a more accurate term for people whose complexion and ancestry are like mine is European American. So I'm going to go with it. Anyway, let me go on to the other stat here that I find really interesting, and that is 2/3 of Louisianans, a little shy, 65%, think that marijuana legalization is inevitable. And this is a new question that's been asked in the last 2 or 3 polls that I've read, is this idea, you know, regardless of what you think about marijuana legalization, do you think marijuana will eventually be legal? And, you know, we got that 75% out of the nationwide poll. Here in Louisiana, it's more 65%. But Louisiana's behind, you know, 10 points in the legalization as well, right? Legalization's up to 54, 58 in that area, and they're still sitting at 44 in Louisiana. But that inevitability, once again, has that gender gap. 73% of men think it's inevitable. 59% of women think it's inevitable. So interesting to me, and this inevitability is something that scares the hell out of Kevin Sabet, right? This is one of the things I know that he's trying to really punch a hole in, is this idea that it's just inevitable. And sorry, you're not going to. Now, in the New Jersey poll, got some extra data from that as well. We already pointed out that New Jersey's split. It's 48% for, 47% against, right? And that's kind of interesting because, you know, that's 95 points right there. And you only got 5% undecided. Usually, there's a much bigger undecided, don't know kind of a number there. So that's where you end up getting those pluralities in a lot of these states, because while it's only 44% support in Louisiana, there's like less than that for against it. And then there's a whole bunch that don't know. Well, this one, 48-47, says that people in New Jersey pretty much have their minds made up at this point so far. And the gender gap is much bigger in New Jersey. It's a 17-point gap. You got a majority of New Jersey men, 56%, who would legalize marijuana, but only 39% of New Jersey women. That's 1 point better than Louisiana. We're talking New Jersey, right? Now, one of the theories that always goes behind this is that, well, the women have the lower support because of the, you know, taking care of the kids and being parents, right? But in this New Jersey poll, they found it didn't really make much difference whether or not you were a parent or not as far as your support for legalization. What made the biggest difference was whether or not you smoked pot. Of all of the factors that they looked at, your own personal experience with marijuana in New Jersey made the biggest difference, with 2/3 of non-tokers supporting legalization and 59% of non-tokers against legalization. So, you know, almost a reversal, right? You know, 2/3 on one side, almost 2/3 on the other, just had to do with whether or not you'd smoked it. Then they adjusted the question a little bit, and they asked, you know, if pot shops were allowed to sell to adults, not just possession, but there'd be commercialization, there'd be, you know, commercial sales of marijuana, then the support dropped a bit, right? Because we had 48% for legalization, but it went down to 45%. I'm sorry, it went further down than that, because a plurality of residents opposed that idea. We're against it. More people were against pot shops than for them. And then they said, well, what if we had these pot shops and we took the money, the tax money from the pot shops, and we used it to fix transportation? And that's a big issue in New Jersey. What if we used that to fix transportation? That really didn't make much difference to most voters. 64% of the voters said it didn't make any difference. But 24% said that that would help them support legalization. And that was greater than the 12% who said it wouldn't help them support. So there's something to work with there in New Jersey. If you continue to sell legalization as something that can help transportation, you might bring some people over to your side. Now, there is a bare majority, 52% in New Jersey, who say that marijuana is a moderate or very serious problem in this country. Problem in this country. And it's hard to understand why they think it's a problem. Because the next couple of questions they asked, they found that 3 out of 5 people in New Jersey believe alcohol and tobacco are more dangerous than marijuana. It was 59% for the alcohol, 58% for the tobacco, where they think it's more dangerous than marijuana. And then trying to find the people who think it's that marijuana is more dangerous, only 18% thought that marijuana was more dangerous than alcohol. Only 21% thought that marijuana was more dangerous than tobacco. So that's a look at two very different places in the United States, Louisiana and New Jersey, and how they're dealing, how their people are interpreting this reform that's sweeping the nation. That's all the time we got for hour one. My apologies that Ganja John couldn't make it in for the Waxy Wednesdays. I was looking forward to a dab. But we'll keep it on going for hour two, Toker Talk Radio, coming up next. You can dial us at 971-533-7111 if you want to talk. We'll be hanging out here smoking flour and having ourselves a good time. For Ryan the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. Take a seat, you're planning, you're growing, you're trying, you're